bed. And she's massaging the dog's legs. And I went, what are you doing? I thought you were talking to me. This is a true story, guys. So what did I do? I went over there and started massaging his other legs. You're such a good boy. You can't beat him, join him, right? And I was like, hey, hallelujah, man. Thank God. Happy Father's Day. She says, you ain't my father. And I thought, well, that's true. I'm not your father anyways. But thank God that he breaks things off our lives, right? And that we can have fun. So I have a title for a message, but I want to read a little thing. And some of you may have seen it. This was pulled off of Facebook. Somebody had posted. And it's just pertinent where I'm at, where God has me. God has had me in this place of hearing, right? And not just hearing, but really listening, because there's a difference. And seeing, using these senses that God has given us, but to listen like God and to see like God, not as the world, because there's a whole lot of things going on in the world that is really negative right now, right? We're seeing a lot of things that could be construed as messed up, bad stuff. So before I get into the title of the message, I want to read this to you. It says, a young couple moved into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman saw her neighbor hanging wash outside on the line. And the lady says, that laundry's not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. And her husband looked on, remaining silent. Smart guy. Real smart guy. Every time her neighbor hung her laundry out to dry, the young woman made the same comment. Boy, she needs to learn how to do laundry. It's still dirty. It's not hung right. A month later, when the woman was surprised to see that there was a nice, clean wash out on the line, and she said to her husband, look, she's finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this. And the husband replied, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. And so it is with life. What we see when watching others depends on the clarity of the window that we're looking through. And this is such a reality, because there's a lot of stuff that we're looking at out there, and I would challenge you as believers. I would challenge you as believers. The light of the world, amen? Those that are filled with the Spirit of God. I would challenge us that when we're looking out at something, we need to make sure we're looking through it with clear eyes and a good vision. We need to make sure that we're looking at ourselves before we start looking into others, at other individuals. Because it starts with each one of us individually. It's easy to look out at the world and say, man, it's messed up. Because the world is messed up. But we are the ones that are supposed to make a change in it. And if we are the problem, then how can we be the solution? This woman, she's looking out the whole time with a skewed perception. She's thinking this woman out there is all messed up and doesn't know how to do laundry. And the whole time she's looking through dirty windows. We have to check ourselves. So I want to talk about us seeing clearly again. Title of today's message is Clean Your Window. Amen? We have to clean our window. Friday, Pastor Lynn said, you know, she had a word that she wanted to share, but she needs to write it down. And I said, well, write it down. Let me read it. And if it's pertinent, I'll share it from the pulpit. Before I continue on, for those of you who are joining us on Facebook, happy Father's Day to you, and God bless you in Jesus' name. And this is what she wrote. On Thursday evening, as she was meditating, the Lord came to her, and she saw that even though she was trying to focus on the Lord, that he Let me start over. On Thursday evening, as I was meditating, the Lord helped me to see that even though I try to stay focused on the Lord and be what He wants me to be on a daily basis, the enemy is still going to attack me in various ways. Paul called it the thorn in his side. 2 Timothy tells us that all that live godly will suffer persecution. God wants us all to know that persecutions, trials, infirmities, necessities, reproaches, and distresses are all devices Satan uses to discourage us. When Paul asked to have his thorn removed, God said that his grace was sufficient, and that through Paul's weakness, that he would become strong. And there are times when you will experience panic, stress, discouragement, or heartache that comes unexpectedly out of nowhere. But God has promised that when you stay focused on Him, each thorn from the messenger sent by Satan will become easier to overcome. Be not dismayed. God has your back and will never leave you unprotected. However, and this is good, He expects us to do the natural, upon which He delightfully does the supernatural. What is the natural in this case? James 4 tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. We have to fight and resist in order to be able to see him flee. Amen? Two parts to this. In other words, the first part is Pastor Lynn saw that the Lord was showing her something. She had eyes to be able to see in the spiritual realm and what the Word of God says. Amen? And the second part is when we learn that when we submit to God and resist the devil according to Scripture, that we will see the devil flee. And many times in life, we forget these things. Many times in life, we get so consumed with the here and now and what's taking place around us, we forget the victory in which we're fighting from. Not fighting for, but fighting from. We're already in victory. We just need to maintain and stand firm in the victory that we have already and realize that it hasn't been taken from us because it was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. The victory that we have is Jesus Christ. Amen. Open your eyes and look to see. Where does our help come from? Amen? So, this is a quote by Dr. Wayne Dyer. If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. If you change the way that you look at things, the things you look at change. This is called perspective. This is called how do we see things? Perspective, as a definition, is a point of view. How do you view it? How do you see it? I would go an extra step and I would say that I would call that revelation. How has it been revealed? You see, each and every one of us have the gift of God living in us, the gift of God Himself living in us. And because of that, each and every one of us have the ability to have revelation or to have a revealing, an eye-opening experience of what God wants for us in our life. He doesn't want us to live in doom and gloom. He doesn't want us to live defeated lives, but we have to catch that revelation. And so as I talk about revelation, I share from a sweet sister in the Lord who stopped by my house yesterday to share a revelation of her own. I told her I'm probably going to share this, and I am. Because once somebody shares a revelation, I hope that it becomes yours, right? And so I grabbed hold of her revelation. I said, yeah, I like that. That's really good. Good enough that I think it's important for it to be shared for all of us to hear. And she come and she said, here's the deal. She said, there were two trees in the garden. There was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's found in Genesis 2:9. And in Genesis 2:9, as it talks about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says you can eat from all of the trees in the garden, except don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you can eat from the tree of life. Are you with me? What is Jesus Christ known as? The way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Jesus is the representation of that tree of life. So she said, in a revelation, what she has seen is that we are eating continually from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We have our eyes and ears open to look at all of the stuff that's going on in the world, and we're going, oh my gosh, that's evil. Oh my gosh, that's good. Oh my gosh, that's so bad. Oh my gosh, I wish it was this way. And we're doing all of this looking at things in a way that isn't bringing any kind of life to us. We still have the ability to eat from the tree of life, but we're choosing to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You already know what's right and wrong. Quit dwelling on it and dwell on life. Amen? Not my revelation, but it's a good one. I like it. No plagiarism. Yes, it's my revelation now. Thanks for sharing. Eyewitness account will remove all doubt. An eyewitness account will remove all doubt. I think of the Israelites and when they go through and the Red Sea parted and all that. And I thought, man, you know, if I saw miracles like that, I would never leave God. You know, but shortly after that, of course, they're, you know, melting down all the gold and making this golden idol, this calf, you know. And it's like, how can people see the true splendor, majesty, glory, and miracles of God and fall back? And I'm just here to say we need to be focused on when we see something, have it remove the doubt from our life. Living in doubt is the opposite of living in faith. And if we're people of faith, we need to know that it's going to be okay. We need to know that God is all-powerful. Amen? And we need to know that He loves us. We sang songs in worship today. He's a good, good Father. We sung songs today, how He'll kick down the wall. He'll climb the mountain for us. A good, good Father. Songs that talked about the perfect Father that He is. Yes, sir. But then when situations arise in our life, many times we're going, oh my gosh, look at the situation. Look at all this problem. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. The way the world looks at it instead of looking at it the way God wants us to see things. There is a battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And I have to remind myself every single day. Last week I said, hey, if you guys got anger in you, come on up front. Man, have the church come up. But you know what? I had the same anger. I was filled with this issue that it wasn't godly. It was worldly. And it was because I was looking at the things in the world. And we need to look at a different manner. If I can use a situation that I have experienced or done that isn't helpful or beneficial, I'll be transparent and share it with you. When you have your eyes focused on the world, it ain't good. It brings death and destruction to you. It doesn't bring life to you, and you need to be lifted up. Scripture tells us in Philippians 4:8 to think on the things that are good, just, right, and noble, and far too often I've been finding myself thinking on the things of the world. Oh my gosh, look at that. Oh my gosh, look at that. I can't believe it's like that. Did you know this is happening? Persecution's going to come. We already know it. And offenses are going to come. The Word of God tells us offenses will come. We already know it. Let's just move in the glory that we have. I have a good brother in the Lord who said, you know what? When I look at things around here, I look at that. We've had peaceful protests in Saginaw. The businesses are open back up. There's nothing going on bad in my community. My household is saved. And I'm going, yes. Yes, exactly. These are the things we must focus on. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My house is healthy, my community safe, and the streets are free of crime. And we declare and we use the authority that God has given us to speak to the demonic realm and declare that it will be bound and be no more. Amen? These are things we have. 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, now we see a blurred image in a mirror. But then we will see very clearly. Now my knowledge is incomplete, but then I will have complete knowledge, as God has complete knowledge of me. And I wrote down a note here, I'll read it to you in the fullness. Then we will have a full understanding and appreciation for one another as unique expressions of God's infinite creativity. That then, my friends, is when we are in heaven. That's the then. But the now, there's a here and now that we live in. And the here and now, we need to know that there's a better way of doing things. There's a better way of life. And it goes on and says, we will use our differences as a reason to praise God. And with that being known or understood, based on that perspective, based on that view, let us treat each other with the same love and unity that we will someday share. Let us share in that same love and unity that will be then, but why not do it now? Don't we pray that heaven be on earth? Yes, sir. Don't we pray that? Yes. Well, I believe because of Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit, we have heaven on earth. You doing a dance? For those of you on Facebook, you seen that? I don't know, but I think we got bugs in the building. We'll resurrect it later. Amen. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him." Amen. Now, this is really, really interesting because it says, "Taste and see." Who's ever ate with their eyes? Right? You know, in culinary school, where's Isabella? Right? Culinary school, they're teaching you. Plate it. What's it called? You eat with your eyes first. Yeah. So to plate it real nicely because it's like, wow, that looks, who's ever said, wow, that looks really good. Right? So the Lord is saying, taste and see. It's like this. Try this. I know you'll like it. Anybody ever made something really good? Right? And you taste it, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, every time I make backstrap, I'm like, thank you, God. I know this is why I hunt. Yes. Yeah. Stephanie, you got to try this. I know you like it, right? But that's exactly what the scripture is saying. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. See, we need to see that in him we're blessed, and in him there's protection. In him, all the days of our lives. Try this. I know you'll like it. That's what the psalmist is writing. The psalmist of this is writing. Hey, try this. It's good. Try this. It will fill you. See, the Bible says those who hunger and thirst will thirst no more when you come to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Taste and see. Psalms 119:82 kind of goes a different direction. My eyes have become strained from looking for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? Totally different perspective. We separate about by 100 verses or so, and all of a sudden, man, it's a whole new light. Bottom line is, the struggle is real in life, right? The struggle is real. So you got somebody writing Psalms here who says, my eyes have become strained. They're looking for a breakthrough. They're looking for something different. They're waiting to be comforted by God. Maybe they've forgotten all of the stuff that was beneficial and good that had happened before. Maybe they forgot the miracles that they've seen. Maybe they forgot the blessings. Maybe they only heard one portion of the promise and don't care about that one anymore, and they're waiting for another one because it hasn't manifested. They forgot all of the other good. It's kind of like that saying, one aw shucks gets rid of all the attaboys. You ever heard that before? Anybody ever experienced that? You never heard that before? You guys are too young. So here's how it works. Somebody could do really, really good for 6 months in a row and all of a sudden have one bad moment, and then all that one aw shucks got rid of all the good because now all you focus on is the one bad thing. But we're not to look at just that. You know, God has created a bigger picture, and he knows the bigger picture, right? But we need to remember that there's a bigger picture out there. We don't have to be so consumed with what we're seeing right now because God's got a bigger plan. It's like that scripture in Romans 8:28 says, all things that will work to good for those who are called according to his purpose. And I'm thinking many times when things are happening, I'm thinking, I don't see any good in this. I don't see any good in this. I've said that to myself I don't know how many times. But I have to remind myself of the promise of God that says, man, I've got victory in Jesus. And the word says, all things work to good for those who are called. And I have to believe I'm called. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm his child. And he's a good, good father. Amen? Say, I'm his child. And he's a good, good father. So remember, he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want bad for you in your life. The bad that's taken place, it will work to good because he sees the bigger picture. Matter of fact, I'll say this. The book that you won't read won't help. The book that you won't read won't help. There's 66 books in the Holy Bible. 66. And all 66 of them books are good. And if you don't get your face in the Bible and read your promises, what God has for you, and know your blessings that you already have, then you're going to be confused and distraught and messed up in your thinking all the days of your Christian walk. Don't take things just as face value. Study. Study. Look in there. Be a student of the Word. Amen. It's a good thing. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." But there is a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture. Here's the window that we need to look through based on this verse. We're all looking through a window, right? And I said, title of the message is Clean Your Window. We need to look through the window of trust, right? Isn't that what our faith is based on? Faith is based on trusting and believing God. We need to ask ourselves, is our window on how we look at God, is that a little dirty? Is it got some smudges on it that need to be cleaned? We have to ask ourselves that. How are you looking at the bigger perspective of how God rules and reigns in your life? Dealing with something, you think maybe God abandoned you, but do you know the word that says he will never leave you or forsake you? So don't think that he abandoned you. You see, because that's wrong thinking. The Bible doesn't tell you he's leaving you. It says he'll never leave you or forsake you. So when you think in that way, you're thinking not according to what the word is telling you you have. And you've negated the understanding of what you have. 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we live by believing and not by seeing." But, put a button there, we're not blind. Do you hear me? We live by faith, not by sight. But we are not blind. We do have eyes to be able to see. And a prayer that I pray all the time is that we're able to see the way God sees. That when we look at somebody who maybe is not a very nice individual, fill in the blank, whatever that may be, we also need to look at them and realize that they were created by God. And they may be being led by a spirit that is not a godly spirit, but the warfare that we do is the warfare against the spirit that's in them that is not of God and not against them. What it all looks like in the end, I have no idea. I know people live, I know people die. But the reality is if you walk through life realizing that the fight is spiritual and not physical, you see, that was my issue. I look at things in the world and I see the catastrophe and the disasters and the injustices and different things taking place. And the natural man in me wants to physically fight, but I have to remind myself spiritually that it's a spiritual fight. And the word says that the battle belongs to the Lord. And I go, well, the battle belongs to you, God. Well, you're going to have to show me how to fight this battle then. And he tells us we need to take everything to him in prayer and supplication. We need to petition God that things change in our area. We need to petition God that things change in our families. We need to petition God that things change in our country. Amen? That's the supplication. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, "So if the good news that we tell each other is covered with a veil, it is hidden from those who are dying." Don't be the veil. Don't be the veil. Don't be that thing that, you know, a veil blocks out the light. Do you understand what I'm saying? A veil covers you. A veil covers you from being able to see clearly. Put a veil over your face, you can't see clearly through it. Put a veil over your head, you can't hear as well. I'm saying as the church, we shouldn't be the veil. You put a veil over your face, it doesn't allow all the light in. Those that are covered, those that have the veil, they can't see as good. The God of this world, and this is really, really interesting, this is God's word translation, the God of this world, Satan himself, has blinded the minds. That's really interesting to think on. Blinded the minds of those who don't believe. As a result, they don't see the light of the good news about Christ's glory. It is Christ who is God's image. Blinded their minds. They can't see. See, our mind, we're told in Romans 12, 2, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Our minds. We have to renew our minds because we're no longer having blinded minds. Are you with me? But those that are covered by a veil and not able to hear the good news, they have blinded minds, meaning they can't comprehend. They can't understand. They don't have a better understanding. You ever said to yourself, I can't believe they have no common sense? Where did their common sense go? Their mind is blinded. Their mind is blinded. They have no common sense whatsoever. It's the scripture that says, those that call evil good and good evil, their minds are blinded. Spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. Anybody ever heard the saying, the term mind's eye? Mind's eye. It's the mental faculty of conceiving imaginary or recollected scenes, the mind's eye. See, all of us have this ability to get this vision of how we want to see things. And you can have a really cool understanding and a really cool, like, you know, theme going on in your head on how you want to see. Anybody ever, like, plan a house or, you know, think about doing new construction? You walk into a home and you're like, man, I want to see this and this and this. It's your mind's eye is seeing something differently. Our mind's eye, man, because it's been cleared and not blinded anymore, we need to be able to see how the world really can be. We need to see how people really are. Without the spirit of junk on them, we need to see who they are. We need to see clearly. And we can see clearly because we're not blinded. Are you with me? There's a difference. There's a difference. Acts 9:18. And instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he recovered his sight. And then he arose and was baptized. I wrote this note down. The scales are an emblem, a representation of the scales of ignorance. Ignorance of himself, of sin, of righteousness. He's blinded, right? He's got these scales on. Ignorance of the law, of the gospel, of Jesus as the Messiah, of unbelief in him. Ignorance of pride, of malice and envy, false doctrine, which upon being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, it fell from him. I remember when I first got saved, we had an encounter here and went to this three-day encounter. And I still have the Bible, and I think it might still have the stains on it. But for 3 days, man, I was broken, and I was crying, and I was crying about anything and everything, man. It was just whatever it was. And then when we came back to the sanctuary on the third day from where we were, we met for a big rally on a Sunday service. It came in here, and it was just as clear as day, and it'll be with me forever. As I could see clearly now. All of those tears of 34 years of whatever I had been through and whatever I had built up and whatever was in me had been broken, and I could finally see clearly through the window, man. The eyes to my soul have been opened up, and there was a breakthrough, and that breakthrough has kept me on fire for God ever since. I could see clearly. And that is my continual prayer for those that I know and love around me, man, is that we can see these things clearly. And any one of us can get caught in the trap of all of the junk that's in the world, but we need to look at the world in a different manner. The world is messed up. It will be messed up. That's what the Word says. But we are in the kingdom of God. We are in a different realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're in a different part of this world. We're in the kingdom of God. And we have different, I don't even know the word. I wanted to say capabilities, but I don't even know if I want to use the word capabilities. But we are blessed. How about that? We're blessed. And so when we see others in darkness, man, we need to pray for them. It is an emblem of spiritual sight. You see, Paul was blinded for 3 days, and in 3 days, he had a whole lot of stuff to think about. In 3 days, he had a whole lot of an encounter with Jesus Christ. Are you understand what I'm saying? Them scales fell off his eyes. You know what happened? He immediately got up and got baptized. He immediately got up. You see, here's the thing. Once he could see God clearly, he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. And so for those of you that are watching, maybe those of you that are here and never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I pray that those scales would fall from your eyes, that you have a living encounter with a living and one true and only God, Amen. And that you will come to Him and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus, that you would know that all your sins are forgiven. The old has passed away. All things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that you immediately are in the kingdom of God. You are immediately His beloved child. You immediately receive the promises of God. Immediately, old things are being restored. You're a new creation. Immediately, when this happens. I close with this. We all had a point where we became tired of looking at things we used to. Last week, I got really tired of looking at things the way I used to. I forgot where I had come from. I forgot what I had been set free from. Amen. I'm reminding you of that today, that we get our spiritual sight back. Amen. And we clean our window and we look in a different manner. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet and close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for You and this day that You have given us. And Lord, we come to You with open hearts right now just to receive everything that You have for us. I pray, God, that we may be able to continually listen clearly. That, Father, we will put into practice those things that You tell us, that You've taught us, and that You have laid out before us. Father, I thank You that You have given us the book of life, the Bible itself, to be able to read and gain understanding and knowledge. Father, we lift up and pray for those broken in this world right now. Father, You've given us the ability to be the light in darkness. I pray, Father, that our light will so shine in the midst of the darkness of this world, that we will be eternally focused on how amazing You are in our lives, that we'll be eternally focused on Your promises of what You've already given us, and that we will not look to the negative or the bad, but we will keep our minds able to see, not blinded, and focused on the things that are true and just and right and noble. And Father, I would just declare that the body of Christ here today, that we all will eat from the tree of life. We will quit eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. We already know good from bad. We already know it. So Father, I thank You that we eat from the tree of life. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to set us free. And with that, Lord, we declare that we are free indeed, and that this is the best year ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.